Well, you may be familiar with the phrase, no preparation needed, right? No preparation needed. A lot of times it's associated with a very quick and easy way to prepare a meal. If you're a busy person, if you've got a lot going on and you have to get meals ready for your family, people will, they'll advertise, here's 12 meals and no preparation needed. It applies to other things at times. Sometimes there are visits or meetings or somebody's dropping by and that don't go to any trouble for me. I'm just stopping by. I'll only be there for a little bit. Don't fuss. Don't prepare. No big deal. Or if you're asked to speak a few words or give an introduction or serve in some capacity, don't worry about this. You can do this. You can go to these meetings. You can be a part of this. You don't really have to do any preparation. In my experience, that usually doesn't work. I find that, especially for me, whatever it is, I need to prepare. If there's a meeting, I have to get alone somewhere for a time and think through it and what I'm going to say and what might be said and try and be prepared for the responses and have a pathway that I'm going to go. I know that our choir is already preparing, long been preparing for Christmas Eve, and they prepare for every Sunday. I like to be prepared, even if it's just giving a few words to an introduction for someone or their bio. And usually, in my experience, you flop when you don't prepare. And yet, you know, there are times when it's impossible to prepare. There are things you can't prepare for. Most of you know that Linda and I are moving in 5 days. And we've done everything we can to prepare. And you know what that's like. You've done it. You've done the packing and all of the stuff that goes with preparing. And we just found out that the place that we're going, they searched out the title. There's a lien against it. And so they can't sell it. And nobody knows what to do, and nobody can find out. And you know, we sold our house. We have, almost all our stuff is gone, right? And so for the past 2 days, we just sit and look at each other. And we stare, and we say, there's a truck coming Saturday. What do we load this truck? Where is it going to go? Do we get a pod? No idea how to prepare. We have to go somewhere, right? We have to go somewhere. I do know I'm not going to my kid's house. That I know. I'll pitch a tent somewhere. I will not live with my children, not yet. Will it be a hotel, an apartment? Perhaps it'll work out and we'll go to a new home. Good chance I could end up in my sister's basement, my sister-in-law's basement. But she has a great basement and she lives on a 100-acre hill in Katanning, so that wouldn't be too bad. Many things in life that not only that we are unprepared for, but there are just things that we can't prepare for them. As much as we love to prepare, we just cannot prepare for them. And our scriptures today talk about some of those things. Jesus speaks of those in Luke and Paul to the Thessalonians and even Malachi in his prophecy. They mention calamities for which we cannot prepare. Jesus mentions three of them in Luke chapter 21. The destruction of the temple. The destruction of the temple. Now that was a big deal. As you know, Herod's temple, Herod began to reconstruct the temple, the Jewish temple, the house of God, in 19 BC. And in the time of Jesus, it was still having work done. And it wasn't completed yet, but it was a magnificent structure. And it was completed in 64 AD, only to be leveled 6 years later, completely reduced to rubble in the first Jewish revolt of 70 AD. One of the most beautiful buildings in the whole Roman Empire. And it was the house of God. And so when they heard about its destruction and Jesus' prediction, it must have been to them as if the world was about to end. That this beautiful place that was the house of God could possibly in a few years be razed. It must have seemed like the end of the world. What do you do? Jesus spoke about earthquakes, wars, famines, plagues. And we have had these in every period of human history. No one can be totally prepared for these. He spoke of a coming persecution to his followers. He knew then in a few years what was going to happen, and that those who were gathered around him, most of them would be martyrs for the faith. He knew it was coming from the state and from the Jews, from the synagogue. Now, we can partially prepare for things, right? We study history, we see things that have happened, and we think, oh, you know, let's not make the same mistakes that they made in the past. And meteorologists will tell us about tornadoes and hurricanes and maybe even earthquakes. But really, these are things we cannot prepare for. And the author to the Ecclesiastes said this, and he was correct, I believe, in chapter 9, verse 12, when he writes, "For no one can anticipate the time of disaster. Like a fish taken in a cruel net, and like birds caught in a snare, so mortals are snared at a time of calamity when it suddenly falls upon them." And though many take our scriptures today as they are apocalyptic, and folks like to use them and make predictions and try and read what's going on in society now, that's really not their purpose. I think what they're really saying is, how do we live for things that we really have no way of knowing when, or nor can we prepare for? How is it that we live, that we exist? Do we live in a state of constant dread, fear, and anxiety? And do we keep saying, it's ending, it's ending, it's ending, I know it's ending, it's so bad? Is that preparation? Jesus said, make up your minds not to prepare your answer when you will be brought in for questioning. Interesting statement. Make up your mind not to prepare. And it's not so much about preparation as it is about how we live. And so the first thing that we notice that the way that we live, what we must have for what we cannot prepare for, is we have to live a life of endurance. Endurance. By your endurance, Jesus says in verse 19, you will gain your lives. Now that's an interesting word. It's one of my favorites. Some of you will know that that's the Greek word hupomone. It's used many times in the New Testament. Hupomone. And it means steadfastness, consistency, patience, persistence. A person with hupomone is a person who will not be swerved from their deliberate purpose and loyalty to the faith and piety by even the greatest of trials and sufferings. No matter what comes their way, they will not swerve, they will not budge, they will persist in their faith. They have endurance, they have hupomone. They do not quit or give up. Secondly, Paul, speaking to the Thessalonians, and these were a group of people who, believe it or not, they were so sure Jesus was coming back, and they were so sure that what was happening around them, that it was the end and that it was all over, that they quit. They quit their jobs. They said, we're not going to go to work. What's the sense? What's the point? Jesus will be coming any day now. Why go to work? They quit. They quit church. They quit serving. And Paul says that's the last thing you want to do. In times that you cannot prepare for, do not be idle. You need to be busy. You need to have a purpose. And you need to be doing the work of the kingdom, the gospel work. Jesus said, he said, that when these persecutions come, You know what that's going to do? It's going to give you a chance to bear witness to me. And that is what he is saying and what Paul is saying. When these situations that are coming that we cannot prepare for, we endure, we persist, we do not give up our faith, but we do not stand idle. We're busy. We work. We work for the Lord. You know, I've found that whatever you're going through in life, for me, grief, for me, it helps to be busy. It helps to have a purpose. It helps to be doing something. Not just sitting and marinating in your problems and your sorrows. And thirdly, we take comfort in the presence of God. The prophet Malachi is writing in a similar situation. He's got people who say, you know what? This serving God business doesn't pan out. Forget it. The evildoers are prospering. The wicked are winning. Okay? And we feel that way sometimes, right? The wrong side is winning. And it's just not worth serving the Lord. But Malachi says, you know what? There were those who feared the Lord, and they spoke to one another. They didn't quit. Sounds like they were going to church, right? They spoke to one another. And the Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. And God said this, "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession." Wow. How important it is for us to realize the presence of God. That he paid attention. That he is aware of every moment. Jesus said, he says, you are going to be hated by your brothers, by your friends, by your family. You're going to be persecuted. Some of you will be put to death. And here's an amazing thing. He says, not a hair of your head will be harmed. I don't know how you die and it doesn't affect your hair. Right? Seems to me like if you die, that's gone for sure. Some of us, it's gone now, but that's beside the point. Not a hair of your head will be harmed, no matter what happens. Endurance, persistence. We keep doing what God wants us to do. We keep on track with the mission, with the purpose. Well-doing. Paul said, don't get weary in well-doing. You can get weary in doing well. You can think it doesn't matter. You can think, what's the use? I don't have many years left. I'm old. I've done enough. Do not get weary in well-doing. And we realize the presence of God with us. God noted them. Their names are written in a book. And they make up a part of his treasured possession. I read where there was a death in September of a Dutchman, Andrew Vander, they're all Vander something, aren't they? Vanderbilt or Vander something, but probably didn't say that correctly, but the world has known him as Brother Andrew. And when I first became a Christian, it was one of the first books that was given to me, and I just read it so quickly and was on the edge of my seat reading about a book, God's Smuggler, about Andrew, Brother Andrew, born in 1928 in the Netherlands to a poor church-going family. And he lived in there during the bitter German occupation of the Netherlands. And he was a part of the resistance, the Dutch resistance. He joined the army in 1945 and was sent to Indonesia. And some very, very brutal fighting. He was shot and wounded and had to be taken out and put to a hospital. And in a hospital, he had a profound conversion experience and met the Lord and discovered his call and his mission to life. What Brother Andrew did was he spent years and years traveling behind the Iron Curtain and deep into communist countries. He took Bibles and tracts and Christian literature to the struggling churches that were in these communist countries behind the Iron Curtain. And he believed so strongly in God's presence that, and the stories I can remember reading, you know, how he would cross into these borders at night, and we see in the movies, you know, they come up with the flashlight and they're going to search the car and you're going to be in trouble, you know, if they catch you with something. And he would have the Bibles on the seat of his car, front seat. And he prayed. He said, "Lord, when you are on earth, I know that you helped the blind eyes to see. Would you please make the seeing eyes blind?" And he would get through. They wouldn't see them on right there in plain sight. Amazing tales of taking the Word of God into these places. He was the founder of Open Doors Ministry. The book was written in 1967, and of course that blew his cover, and he couldn't do that anymore in the communist countries, but he continued to work in Muslim countries. And in 1981, on a night, on a dark night on the coast of China, in 1981, he delivered 1 million Bibles. And those Bibles went through the country to all those house churches in that land where the missionaries were sent out. And all of those Bibles permeated China. He died in September of this year. A man of persistence and endurance. A man who never stopped working. Never stopped doing the work and the mission of God. And a man who was constantly aware of God's presence. Now, one thing I want to finally say is that you may want to prepare for some night in the next few weeks when somebody shows up on your door with a suitcase. Keep that key under the flower pot, okay?